Welcome back, gentlefolk. Last time, Lydia and Dioti infiltrated the Ring of the Hand. Once inside, Dioti faced an impossible choice. And despite Lydia saving him, the decision he made might cost him his life. The only question is, how will the sorceress exact her payment? Only the dice know. So, listener, the time has come to roll and tell. Welcome back to Roll and Tell. I'm Jeffrey.
And I'm Christian.
And we are your players, your storytellers, and two tiny kings that have taken over your spice garden.
Halt. These are my spices now.
Well, we are a dual monarchy, but we control all of your spices.
Yeah. you're not getting into this place anymore. We've got your paprika. We have your thyme. Your Italian seasonings, everything.
Your sweet little peppercorns, those are mine especially.
Oh no, is that your foot coming down upon us?
Oh no, please, don't! Well, all right, that was a short-lived reign, but Christian, while we were king, what did we do?
Man, not only were we kings, but we were two players, no game masters. Only spicy chaos.
Yeah, we were really bad about that whole order part of ruling.
Well, not only did we screw up the spice garden reign, we have really screwed up royally in the Ring of the Hand, and now we have to get out.
Well, I mean, like, I feel like Lydia, she did all right.
Yeah, well, I think that there were things that both of us did that led to this point in some way or another, intentionally, unintentionally, but no matter the fact, we're here and we've got to get out.
Yeah. And because that's the intention, I think we can jump right into the scene here, because I think we're going to try to get out, right? As you said, but I don't think the sorceress is going to let us, because you made a deal and I have to hold you to that deal.
Yeah. Deal was not complete. Sorceress still wants my blood, that's for sure.
Yeah. Your sweet, sweet fairy blood.
Oh, this is the fairy all over again. Yeah. Okay, so then the scene.
So, Christian, I think that there are two obvious obstacles in this very room that the sorceress could use to harm us.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. my best approximation of what this scene might be is Lydia and Dioti attempt to escape the Ring of the Hand. But the two bodies, posing as Willow and Lydia, rise and attack.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That was something I really wanted to have happen.
Yeah, because those things are clearly puppets of the sorceress. So let's roll and see if this scene happens. We are at Chaos 9 currently, so it's going to be really, really hard to have this happen outside of Chaos. I got a 5. It's an altar.
Okay.
Immediately, my brain goes to, it's worse than just that. You know, it's not just maybe in this room, it's the two bodies. But uh-huh. I think the sorceress starts revealing everything that was just tucked away, barely out of sight.
What if it's, what if the whole cracks out of the and tries to kill us?
Dude, could you imagine the, like, at first the two bodies get up. And like we're uh-huh. like, oh gosh, we're gonna have to fight these things. And then
that's
then
what I want to have happen. I'm very enthusiastic about this monster.
Okay, yeah, I think this is really cool.
And maybe we'll bleep all of that so the audience doesn't hear.
Okay, yeah, I'll put in like little sensor things, like the beep, that kind of thing.
Okay, now that the audience can hear all of our words again, I believe that instead of just those two bodies, there is a much greater monster that will reveal itself, because we know the sorceress loves making horrible, horrible monsters.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's get into the scene. A blazing fire crackles only meters away from Lydia and Diodi, and Lydia is holding Diodi in her arms. As Diodi stares blankly, stuck in his own thoughts, pans and pots still scattered among this room, this kitchen, and two bodies still sit in chairs in front of this furnace that lights the entirety of this room. And it's quiet for a moment as Lydia continues to hold Diodi. Diodi turns towards her, almost waiting for her to speak, to say something, not sure what to do next.
Lydia feels Diodi move, and she knows that he needs something from her, and she is willing to provide that, even though right now she really has no idea what to do.
Diodi, I know you're struggling with a lot right now, but look, I think maybe we know enough, and we should get out of here. Get you somewhere safe.
And Diodi's still scared. Lydia just saved his life, but at the cost of this deal that he had with the sorceress. He's still not sure whether to thank Lydia or to push her away and run back to that furnace. But he brings himself into a place in his mind where he realizes the journey that he was on, the mission that he set out to do for Abigail and the rest of the Ring of the Hand and the Shining Circle. Diodi's journey was not for the sorceress, it was for his friends. And after coming to that realization, as he's still looking at Lydia, he just nods and he says, "Yeah, let's get out of here, Lydia, before anything else happens. I don't want to see what happens now that the sorceress knows she's not getting my blood." And Diodi gets up and tries to bring Lydia up with him in order to start heading out of this kitchen.
Lydia takes Diodi's hand and rises with him. As she does, she takes a look over towards the fireplace at those two bodies that are still there, struggling with their bonds in their chairs. It sickens her. She doesn't want to leave them there, but she learned from her experience at the keep that these probably aren't people anymore, just another toy of the sorceress here to mess with them. And so she shudders and turns towards the broken door that she slammed through to get into this room to save Diodi.
And as you turn towards this door, those bodies that were struggling in the chairs stop struggling. They go quiet. This whole room goes quiet until you start to feel a subtle rumble amongst the floor, amongst the walls, everywhere around you. The floorboards that your feet are standing on begin to vibrate in a way that makes it feel like it's hard to stand straight in this moment. You begin to hear the floorboards behind you cracking and snapping. Diodi turns around to see what's happening.
And against her better judgment, Lydia turns around to see what could possibly be making this noise.
And you can see, Lydia, just past where you're standing, the floorboards continue to snap in a way that, surrounding these two bodies in the chairs, this part of the floor disconnects from the rest of the floor in the kitchen and snaps up, angling the bodies towards the furnace. But the next thing you see, the stone and metal of the furnace cracks and bursts from the wall. This sharp, blazing mouth of the furnace comes down on top of the bodies and consumes them whole as they're sucked into the flames, and the mouth closes down and chomps almost as if this furnace is a living being. The floor slams back down to the ground. The bodies that were once in the chair, no longer there.
And as the flaming maw of this furnace opens wide once again, embers and flames crackling forth from it, it almost seems as if this mouth belches. And then, Diodi, you smell it. The air is filled with the pungent aroma of cinnamon.
Diodi knows now that smell he was following through the city was just simply bodies being burned in this furnace. And he knows if Lydia and he don't get out of here right now, they'll be next. And so he looks towards Lydia and he says, Lydia, we need to go.
Yeah, kid, you really didn't need to tell me that. Let's go. And she pushes Deodie towards the door.
All right. As we have created this creature, we have made a very specific note that it is terrifying, of course. So I think before we do any actions, I think the most important thing we do first is make a whiz roll so that we can decide if we can get ourselves out of this, I guess, astonishment of this furnace eating people.
Yeah, defy danger wisdom. See if we like horror movie style running away from a slasher, just trip on our way out.
Right. Thank God I have such a high whiz modifier. Because that would have been a failure otherwise. But I got a semi-success.
I also got a semi-success.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Lydia and Deodi run towards the door. But that smell of cinnamon just starts moving its way into their nostrils, and it starts messing with their mind. They know that this couldn't have been the first time that this building has eaten people. And that horror creeps into their brain and confuses them. They enter the hallway, ready to run, but it's almost like the floor isn't a linear line anymore. They see the door at the end of the hallway, but it's almost like hundreds of paths are taking them there, even though there is only just one. They are so confused, so rattled, that their own sense of reality has shifted.
And although this isn't the first time Deodie's seen this hallway in such a strange way, he's terrified of what's behind him right now. And it's making it so difficult for him to just make a decision right now. But from behind them, he can hear the entire kitchen being sucked up by this furnace, becoming engulfed in these flames. He knows he has to move now. And so he just continues to run straight as he possibly can, trying his best to disregard the fact that it looks like there are 100 different paths. He just knows in his mind that this is a hallway, and he just needs to move straight no matter what. It's probably another wisdom roll, right?
I think it's probably wisdom. Defy danger wisdom.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, that's a full success. I thought it was another semi-success, but it's full. Deodi just moves straight. Sometimes it feels like he's about to walk into a wall, but then there's nothing there as he just continues to go forward. And these walls that are in his way seem to shift around him as if it is just his vision playing a trick on him, or something outside of his control tricking his senses.
And Lydia follows directly behind. She doesn't know where she's going, but she hears something horrible as she runs. It almost sounds like crunching. And when she looks over her shoulder, she sees that the furnace is following them. It is eating the hallway as they move through it.
I'm almost tempted to say to roll another whiz roll since you looked at it.
I'm fine with it, man. Fine with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I'm watching definitely a building eat itself.
Yeah, do another whiz roll.
Ooh, that is a full success.
Lydia, you are not fazed when you take a look at this building, other than the simple fact that it is so imposing and the fact that it is chasing you through this hallway. But eventually, as you continue to follow Deodi, you reach the entrance room to this bakery, just past this long, almost never-ending hallway.
And here in this lobby, near the counter, we can see the door to the bakery. And behind us, we hear the continual crunching, snapping, as this building seems to eat its own self and use it as kindling for this monstrous fire. And Lydia miraculously is keeping her calm, but it comes out through the way that she speaks when she says, okay, kid, I really have no idea what the fuck is going on right now, but please, just let's get out of here.
And you can see Deodi just scrambling at full speed, trying to just bust out of this building. He's trying to get out of here quicker than you can even really speak to him.
So I think the door is going to try to slam shut and keep itself shut. So I think we both need to do a Defy Danger dex to make it in time. Or should we ask if it tries to slam shut?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I think that's a good idea. I think we should ask if the door, more so if it's able to, because of that wood that Deodi had placed in to keep it open.
Yeah.
So maybe does the door try to contain our characters in this building? I think it's nearly certain, honestly.
That is an exceptional yes.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So the door definitely tries to contain us. And I think with that exceptional, yes, 100% the wood that DOD put in it earlier isn't enough to hold it closed. Or open, I mean.
I think I know how I want to describe this exceptional yes quality.
DOD, once again, scrambling and trying to sprint the best he can with his wild legs right now, is just running to the front door and screaming at Lydia. Lydia, I put wood in the crack in the door. We can go. Let's go.
And DOD, the moment you say that, you see the door open of its own volition. And not only stay open for a moment, but it's almost like a hand. It comes slamming down on itself, cracking all the walls around it, revealing behind the planks of the wood, fleshy matter. There is something else besides this being just a building, and it does not want us to leave, because it slams down on that piece of wood, and you hear a little click as it locks itself.
And Diodi, staring at this flesh in the walls, sees that it has a nude, almost purplish tint to it as blood flows through this, what he now assumes is a body as this building. And I want to say, I think DOD does need to do another whiz roll after seeing this, because it's so freaky.
Yeah, you see pulsating flesh behind the walls of a building.
Oh, okay. Oh, I probably shouldn't have suggested that for myself, because it's a failure.
Oh, mark experience, little boy. DOD, you have grown so much since the beginning of this adventure. You have seen so many things. You have done so much. But none of them compare to the pulsating horror of seeing a building that must have once been living matter trying to consume you, trying to kill you. And after what you've just been through in this room, your mind cannot handle it. You stand there, stock still, staring at flesh behind wood, unable to move. And Diodi, I would like you to take the shaky debility, giving you -1 ongoing to dex.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
But Lydia, the moment that door closes, she looks over to the windows, that show window right near the front of the store where all the nasty molding bread was sitting, and she sees a way out. So I am going to use my move, escape route. So when I'm in too deep and need a way out, I'm going to name my escape route and roll plus dex. My escape route is that window.
All right, yeah.
This could be bad, because I might have to leave DOD. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a complete success. I don't have to leave anything behind. It's just on a 10 plus, I'm gone. So you're going to be able to see that this is an escape route. Lydia sees the window, and it doesn't look like flesh. It doesn't look like anything. It just looks like glass. And so she sees it. She grabs DOD's hand and yanks him towards the window, and she goes barreling through it, crashing through this glass.
And as these shards of glass go spraying onto the street, you hear something coming from behind you. A burst of flame erupting from the furnace that you left in that building. And this fire engulfs the entire room that you both were just standing in, charring everything that was in there. Smoke is now pouring out from this broken window.
And as Lydia and Diodi are there on the ground looking back at this building, it continues to grow more terrifying. This furnace that had been following them by some horrible magic. As the room is burning, it's almost like the front door of this building burns off, and snapping into its place is the furnace. It's one broken window looking like a broken eye, creating something like a horrific face as it stares down at us.
I'm just imagining that movie Monster House now. Because there's this one quote where the kids are like, it's a girl house. Now that's all I'm thinking about when like picturing this furnace building.
It's a
thing.
Baker house.
Yeah, it's a baker house.
I want to ask Fate, if this thing grows appendages and tries to chase us.
I think this thing was only tasked at this point to kill us. It's going to do everything it can to do that.
Yeah, particularly DOD.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So I think reining it back in a little bit, based off of its potential capabilities. I'll say it's very likely.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to roll?
Sure. Yeah. I got a 69.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Yes, it does, in fact, find a way to continue after us. There's just a slight moment where it feels like maybe, just maybe, this furnace can't do anything now that we're on the street outside of the building. But that moment fleets so quickly as the stones and the wood around the sides of the building begin to erupt, as flesh seems to ooze through these stones, and we can see these arm-like appendages curl out from the building, out from the ground around, and grab onto the street in front of it, and begin to pull the entire building towards Lydia and Diodi.
And as the cobblestones of this street start to upend themselves, as this massive red bakery starts to drag itself towards us, both Lydia and Diodi stare in horror at what they're seeing. Flames starting to belch forth from a furnace that was once a front door. I think we gotta do another whistle roll.
I think so too. I think this has gotten more horrifying than it initially was.
It just keeps getting worse.
Okay, I got a semi-success.
I got a 9, so that's a semi-success. Oh, no, I got a 10. I got a 2.
Oh, nice.
Thank you, level up. Yes, I am got a full success.
Awesome. Great.
DOD, again, you are sitting on the cobblestone streets, and you are staring in absolute terror at this creature, this building. And you are looking into the fire that you yourself almost threw yourself into. And it is almost inviting you to come back in. You see the fire seemingly reaching out to you as flames spit forth from the furnace.
And Diodi doesn't know why in this moment, why he feels this way that he does, but he is so determined now that he's out of there, now that he has Lydia by his side, now that he knows he wants to get back to Abigail to shut the sorceress down. For some reason, something in his gut causes him to put up his middle finger at the furnace and get up and start running away again.
Diodi, as you get up, you feel Lydia's hand grab yours, and she was able to get moving quicker than you, and she is tugging you along through the streets, trying to find her way back to the start of the city, the entry gate that you came through.
But as we're up, beginning to run, we feel a heat from behind us. Diodi takes a quick look back, and he sees that out from the mouth of this furnace, this building that is now crawling towards them, a molten blaze falling from the mouth of this thing as it tries to blow it in their direction. It begins to melt the stones on the street behind them.
All right, that sounds like a Defy Danger dex from both of us.
And now I'm shaky, so I don't get any modifier. Oh, but I didn't need it. I got a 10.
I also got a 10.
Okay. And as Diodi sees this happening, and as he feels this hot air coming closer to their backsides, he knows they have to find cover somewhere. And he points to a nearby alley, the closest one to them, and he shouts at Lydia to get in that alley.
And Lydia wastes no time. Still holding on to Diodi, she yanks and tugs him, and the two of them maneuver their way into this alley. And once they are in the safety of this alley, they feel a wall of flames blaze past them.
Jeffrey, I have a question that I'm dying to ask right now, because I am certain this furnace building thing is not the only horror that has been hidden in this city. Do we start to see signs of things that had been tucked away begin to emerge?
Yeah, that feels certain.
Okay. I feel like I don't even need to roll. Certain out of chaos, 9.
Yeah, 100 will be the only thing that...
I got a 2 anyway. It's an exceptional yes.
Oh, exceptional yes. I would love, Christian, just to add to the unpredictable horror of this situation, if we rolled a subject in action.
Okay, actually, that's great. I can get action.
All right, I'll take subject.
Break.
I got freedom. Break freedom.
Oh, ooh. Break freedom almost implies that they're like getting blocked in, you know, surrounded.
As Lydia pants, trying to catch her breath in this alley, we hear a noise. It sounds like shuffling footsteps.
both Lydia and Diodi look down the alleyway, and emerging from the darkness is a singular frame, a person, shambling like some kind of gross zombie towards them. And when Lydia sees that, she puts up her dukes ready to fight it. But then, her hands slowly drop as she sees more and more people shambling into this alley until they are like a disgusting throng, screaming and yelling at the end of the alleyway. And as she turns around to try to take you out of this alley, the face of this bakery, its cracked window acting as an eye, slams against the end of the alleyway, creating a wall, almost inviting us back into the bakery as our only escape.
Oh, that's interesting.
But let me add this. But behind the window pane, the cracked window, we can still see the bakery, and all of its rotten goods are in flames.
All right, so that's not an option.
I think one of us has to do a discern realities.
I'm down for it, because I got good whiz. DOD is going to try to assess the situation, see what they could possibly do to get out of this alley right now. Oh my gosh. That's a 15. That's my first crazy one.
Okay, three questions.
Yeah. I mean, I there's really nothing else I need to ask right now other than what here is useful or valuable to me.
Let's take that question and run with it. You want to hear subject in action?
Let's do it.
Switch.
Okay.
I got celebrate.
I rolled another 2, and I got adversity.
Celebrate adversity. So the subject is adversity, so that means that there's something to celebrate about the adversity. That means there's a way out, right? That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, there's a way out, I think, through one of these dangers.
Yeah. Should we flip a D2?
Yeah, which adversity, which danger
should we be celebrating? Like it's its birthday.
Okay, I've got the D2 in my hand. What you make the call. What's 1, what's 2?
1 is the bakery, 2 is the throng.
It's a 2, so it is the throng.
The throng. So, do we just push our way through it?
I think this is one of those hard choice scenarios where we're forced to just make a hard decision in this moment. That is our best way out. That's what's useful to us. But Diodi has an idea. Diodi, looking at these beings that are surrounding them in this alley, the building, these zombie-like puppets of the sorceress. There's no way out through the building, but he has an idea. He pulls his blowgun from his bag as quickly as possible. Diodi, looking at this blowgun, thinking about what, honestly, his fairy parent would have done in a situation like this. He knows he wants to deceive these things around him, and that he has that ability to do so. He imagines the idea of tricking the senses of these creatures around them, making them think that they're not here in this moment, even though they still will be, just in order to push through the crowd long enough to get them out of this alleyway into a place where they're able to run again.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. I think that is good. But I think we'll have to do a roll to see if it works, though, because their level of intelligence is so low that leads me to believe we just need to double check to make sure that they're even susceptible to the illusion.
Well, and I still have to roll Blood and Tradition anyway.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I get one hold.
All right, well, I think you're using it on this, right?
Yes, I am. I'm using it on making us essentially invisible, even though we're still physically going to be here.
Yeah, and I think your one hold, because this is the first time you're trying to really honor your fairy traditions, right?
Other than in Into the Wilderheath 1.
Yeah.
There was that one other time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and I just want to give a little playful flavor that the reason why you're only getting one is because you're a little bit ignorant of fairy culture.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's fantastic and reasonable. Diodi grabs Lydia's hand, puts the blowgun up to his mouth, and blows through it. Glitter and sparkles come out the other end as he imagines this deceitful trickery he wants to play on everything around him. And the next thing he knows, he can't see Lydia right now. So he knows that it worked, but he can still feel Lydia. And he begins to just pull Lydia in the direction towards this crowd of puppets.
And Diodi, they don't see us. We start maneuvering past them, pushing our way through as they just mindlessly shamble. But there is one entity in this alley that is not confused, and it's the bakery. Diodi, you feel the ground rumble as the bakery moves to the side and presses the furnace, almost engulfing the entirety of the exit of this alleyway with its fiery maw. And you watch as a spark of flames grows bigger and stronger, roaring until finally it shoots down the alleyway.
And of course, we probably have to make another dexterity roll.
This is an attack, yeah. I'm good.
Oh, I got a failure.
No.
Yeah, this is not gonna be good.
All right, dear audience, you didn't hear us make this stat block, but you're about to hear something terrifying.
Yeah, you're about to see the potential of what this furnace can do.
All right, so Christian, would you please describe the damage and then I'll roll?
Yes, the damage die is a D10. Not only that, it gets a +7 on whatever it rolls.
That is right. So I will roll the damage, and Christian, you can describe the aftermath.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, it also ignores armor, so.
Oh yeah, very important. It ignores armor, which is just a fun little side treat. Okay, I feel like you're pretty lucky. It's only a 3.
Oh, but that's a 10, though.
Yeah. That's over half your life, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Let me just knock off the 1 in front of my hit points. Diodi is running as quickly as possible as he feels this heat building and eventually burst. He knows that he no longer is trying to be careful through these bodies anymore. He's just trying to push. But somehow, these bodies crowd him so much that it ends up holding him back, and he can feel his grip on Lydia release as Lydia continues forward, trying to make it out of this alleyway as fast as possible as well. And the next thing Diodi feels is this scorchingly burning hot wave of fire scald his skin from behind. He falls to his knees as he feels it so difficult to stand up through this blast.
And as the fire disperses, you realize you were quite fortunate that these bodies were shielding you from the entirety of the heat, because they all fall dead around you, and each and every one of them simmering there on the ground smells like cinnamon.
And Diodi, forcing himself to get up, even though he feels these third-degree burns on the back of his arms and his neck, he manages to get to his feet, and he looks forward. He doesn't see Lydia, but that's because he assumes that she made it just to the edge of the alley to avoid the fire, and he runs. He runs in that direction, trying to meet back up with her.
And the moment you turn the corner, you feel Lydia's arm grab what remains of your unscorched clothing, and she pulls you to the side and just looks at you. She sees your hair slightly blackened. There is overwhelming concern in her eyes, and all she can say is, Diodi, are you okay?
When Lydia had grabbed his arm, he pulled it back in pain, and as he's flicking his arm, trying to relieve this pain in him, he answers Lydia's question. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We need to go. We don't know if that building is going to be barreling through these other buildings trying to get to us. We need to get out of here.
Right. Okay. And Lydia turns, and she looks. I imagine we're in some back alley behind the houses and buildings now?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like we're definitely somewhere we haven't been yet, and it might be a little bit disorienting.
Purposely so, even. Maybe let's roll subject in action to see if we can find a way out of this alley.
Okay. Or, like, wherever we are now.
Yeah.
That's very strange. I got celebrate again.
Oh, I got building.
Celebrate building. Oh, God.
So I think we got two options here. I think either the building does exactly what Diodi said and just starts tearing down these other buildings to get to us, or there is a building here that we can get through.
Let's go with that there's a building that we're able to go through.
Lydia looks all around for some way out of this alleyway that they found themselves in, and she sees a door. She sees a door slightly ajar, and she says to Diodi, okay, I don't know where that goes, but we gotta get off the street. We gotta get somewhere safe and get back to the main thoroughfare.
Yeah, just anything to get somewhere safe right now. Let's go.
And the two of them run into this ajar door and inside of this building.
And as soon as we get in, it is pitch black. Like, curtains were intentionally placed in front of the windows for whatever happened in this building most recently. and Diodi's skin, slightly glowing from his iridescent veins in his body, shines a little bit of light in a close proximity to where Lydia and he are standing. And he begins to walk slowly through this building, trying to find something they can use, a back exit to this building, anything, to just get as far away from this thing that's chasing them as possible.
And Diodi, as you progress, you find yourself walking out of a hallway and into an open space, quite open, in fact. You see some scattered chairs overturned, tables overturned, and as you take a step forward, your foot knocks against something raised, as if there's a stage to your right.
And Diodi looks at it. He begins to climb up on top of this raised stage to get a better look around, see if there's anything they could use.
Diodi, you start rooting around, and the first thing you find is a rope hanging off of an angled wall. And as you look with your iridescent skin, you can see that this wall is made of wood, but it's painted to look like stone.
And Diodi, racking his brain for what this could be, begins looking around and sees body parts on the stage as well, wherever he's standing. But they're not real body parts as he looks closer. They're fake. This is where the play took place that he had heard in Dakota's story. This is the play that took place the day the Ring of the Hand fell. And he even sees flyers scattered amongst the stage and on the ground. He picks one up, and it reads off,
"The Tragedy of Donalo and Albi, or The Fate of Two Jailbirds." Lydia looks over your shoulder, and she sees the playbill. She sees the scattered body parts. She sees the walls painted to look like something else. And she says, "Okay, I think we can both agree that everything here is worthless."
And Diodi just tosses the flyer away, knowing that there are more important things to be doing here, and that is getting the heck out.
Lydia turns around, and through the dim light of Diodi's skin, she can see the front door to the tavern. And she taps Diodi on the shoulder and says, "All right, step where I step. Breathe only when I breathe. We're going to try to sneak past."
And Diodi just falls right in line, not nodding, not saying anything, just follows her.
"All right, so I want to try to sneak out the door with like a ghost and get onto the street. So I'm doing Defy Danger Dex, and I'm going to choose options equal to my Dex, which is 3. I'm going to choose that we remain silent, we stay out of sight, and leave no trace behind. Let's see if those are true." They most certainly are not.
Oh gosh, what did you fail?
I got snake eyes, which is a failure.
Oh shoot. Ooh.
That is pretty much the only thing Lydia can roll to get a failure on Dex, but I did it.
Lydia, as you approach the front door to this tavern, Diodi following your every step, you're doing your absolute darndest to stay as quiet as possible as you're about to approach the outside again. But honestly, you don't know how it found you. You just know that the next thing you hear is a cracking and a ripping and a rumbling so loud, it's almost unbearable, as this roof of the entire tavern begins getting torn off, breaking the walls around it, tearing wood and stone from its foundations. And this roof, as it's ripped off, slides off the walls and back onto the street around you. And you can see this arm-like appendage of the furnace of the bakery trying to claw its way in into the tavern as it tears down walls, trying to get into where both of you are.
"Okay, kid, sneaking didn't work, so let's try running." I just book it full speed.
Yeah. Diodi just follows you.
So we are back on the main thoroughfare, and I imagine we can see the arch, the gate, right?
Can we? Let's ask, actually. From where we are, can we see the entrance?
Odds.
I don't know this town well enough. I would actually have to say 50-50.
Okay. That is a 23.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's a yes.
Oh, I've got a great idea. Okay, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So part of this city's whole thing is that it had a wall, but the gate was always open, right?
Yeah.
What if the gate tries to close?
Ooh.
So I want to ask if we see the spool that keeps the gate open start to creak and then start to try to close.
I think that's certain.
It does.
As we bust out of this tavern and go as quickly as possible, DOD following your every step, you see it just barely peeking above the tops of the buildings in front of you. You can see the archway in which you and DOD entered. But this fog that you saw from the outside of the city, being sucked into the middle of the city, that fog is now becoming more apparent that it is consuming this entire city, as the fog is descending further and further down from above, engulfing everything around you in darkness. As you move closer and closer to this front gate, though, you hear the gates that were always claimed to be open for everyone to enter and exit whenever they please, starting to close. You can hear the squeaking of the metal as they're beginning to try to shut you and DOD into the city.
Lydia hears that, and she knows they gotta get out of there, and so she grabs DOD's hand and just says, "Okay, kid, shake a leg, we gotta get out of here."
Okay, I guess we're gonna roll Defy Danger Dex to see if we make it in time.
Oh my gosh, I got a 10.
Oh, I got a 12. We're gonna make it.
Dude, we're getting out.
Lydia, holding onto DOD's hand, starts to run as fast as her legs will allow her, just dragging DOD if he cannot keep up. But it seems like pure fear is helping DOD keep pace with Lydia. Their boots slap against cobblestones as they run and they run and they run towards this gate, this portcullis that is slowly coming down, trying to trap them inside.
But as we make our approach to that gate, as we're both determined to make it out before it shuts, we cannot help but see some of the horrors that are now showing themselves in this city. From these cobblestones underneath our feet, we see flesh pushing out some of them. We see these puppeted people coming from all places amongst the city, as if they had been hiding behind walls and corners this entire time. We can hear a loud growl and a rumble come from this furnace and this bakery chasing us, as it spews out puffs of fire and smoke in short blazes, trying to shoot anything it can in our direction. It seems like everything is closing in on us. The city feels alive in a way that it never felt when we first entered. And we make it to that archway. We make it to that gate before it closes.
And as the gate slams to the ground, we make our way through, and just on the other side, we take a moment to catch our breath. But that bakery that is dragging itself through the street, we watch as it slams against the portcullis. We see the fire growing as if it is going to try to breathe flames through the metal and out at us. Audience, Christian had an interesting idea that I don't want you to know. So Christian and I are going to roll something off mic and we'll see if it's a yes or not. So it is a yes. And we will see the result of that roll now. DOD, you and Lydia stand beneath the archway just on the other side. You are too tired, too exhausted from running, from fleeing, to run anymore. And you look behind you and you see nothing but a barren, open plain. You are certain if this fire comes through that gate that you are dead. And as that fire is starting to whip inside of the furnace's mouth, something strange happens. The fire starts to dissipate. The building falls to the ground, and suddenly, it stops moving entirely. DOD, you hear a voice inside of your head. It's familiar, and it's horrible.
Oh, you got away. Oh,
I guess
you're not gonna be a little loaf of bread today, are you? Okay. Well,
why don't you just run away?
Run as fast as you can away from this place, because I know that you'll be back. I know that you'll be back with my daughter to finish what you started. And when you do come back, you still owe me your life, or I'm going to take that little blonde elf next to you, and I am going to rend her flesh from her very body and turn her into something beautiful and wicked to kill you with. Do you understand me?
DOD closes his mind in an attempt to push the sorceress out. He doesn't respond. He just focuses on Lydia, and he wants to move forward.
There is a long
silence, DOD. But then you hear something again. You can't get rid of me. I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting.
All right. We're alive.
Honestly, I was fucking cool, dude.
Yeah. That might have been one of my favorite things that has ever happened in this campaign.
I know. I know. That's how I feel. It was awesome.
Audience, were you expecting a body horror house? Were you expecting body horror bakery?
Dude, it's so cool.
I wasn't. I was expecting a fight with two little people. We got a whole bakery trying to eat us.
Yeah.
All right. Christian, what chaos are we at now?
Well, we were at a 9, so we had to go down to an 8 no matter what.
Unbelievable, right? That this chaos had to go down after that?
I know. It's like the one time that we should probably like let it go up to a 10, but it's an 8.
Christian, I would really like to see these two get back to the Shining Circle.
I think this is going to be a very short scene. I think we're returning to the Shining Circle, telling everybody what we found.
All right, I think that's what it is. DOD and Lydia return to the Shining Circle to find the rest of the party and inform them of what they saw. It's our favorite number, 2.
Is it a 2? Okay, so interruption.
Interruption.
Which, once again, feels very appropriate right now anyway.
Ambiguous event.
Oh, I don't know if we've ever actually rolled this on the show. If we have, I don't remember it.
This is honestly one of my favorite random events. The description they give here is the adventure has slowed and you are ready for a mystery to pursue. So basically, this means something happens that poses some sort of ominous new quality to what's happening in the world, but we don't really know what it is. It could just be thunder cracking in the distance. It could be anything.
Yeah, the intention behind ambiguous event is that in the immediate moments that it happens, we're not sure if it's a good or a bad thing. We just know that something happened.
So let's roll subject and action.
What are you grabbing?
I'll grab action. Defend.
Power. Lydia and Diodi, both riding their horses on their return to the Shining Circle, have a relatively quiet trip back. No encounter with Gratz, no returning to the keep, nothing noteworthy, necessarily. Until about midway through their trip, on what would otherwise be a sunny and quiet day in these grasslands, Lydia and Diodi hear something off in the distance, indiscernible from where it's coming from, but it is a loud, whip-like crack, the sound waves of which seem to shoot through the air around them, ripping through the sky. The sound is almost painfully unbearable when they hear it, but as quick as it arrived, the sound disappears. Diodi and Lydia look to each other, not sure really what to make of that noise, but they continue on to return to the Shining Circle.
So what was the noise? We don't know, but yeah, we'll try to keep track of it so that we can maybe find out what that was.
Yeah. Now that we know that it happened, it has to show up again at some point before the end of the story. So,
yeah. Do you think chaos went down or up?
It didn't affect us. I think it goes down.
Yeah, I think it goes down. It's unsettling. It could be anything, but it goes down. We will carry on with the scene we previously described because I don't feel like that did enough to change where we were going.
Right.
Let's go back to the Shining Circle. In the middle of the Shining Circle, on a small pitch that has been erected and delineated by wooden poles around it in a circle, we hear the crack of wood being hit against each other. Luid is currently in the process of trying to help Dakota learn how to sword fight. I'm going to ask, is Dakota doing poorly? 50-50.
I would actually say it's likely that Dakota's doing poorly.
That's a yes. There are a few more bouts, wood hitting against wood, until Luid puts a little bit too much juice behind a hit, and Dakota's sword goes flying out of their hand and lands point down into the ground. Dakota turns, looks at it, and says, "Oh, man." Luid places a hand on Dakota's shoulder and says, "Really, you're getting better."
Luid, as soon as you say that, you can see Ven, onlooking from behind Dakota, look at you and disappointedly shake his head.
Luid gives Ven a look, a raised eyebrow, as if to say, "You catch more flies with honey," and puts his other hand on Dakota's shoulder and says,
"Dakota, I want you to know that I will stay here and I will train you to be a sword fighter, but only if that's what you desire. You already are a very talented individual and you have so much to offer this force. So, keep heart. We need you."
And off in the distance, just a little ways away from where you currently are standing, you hear Abigail shout to you,
"That's what I'm always trying to tell them. Dakota, you're doing well. You have a lot of potential. Just keep at it.
Now back to what I'm doing." And Luid, you can see Abigail scrambling around the whole settlement. She is currently helping bakers bake bread and other foods that are easily carryable and able to be taken on such a long journey that they're about to go on. And she is running around to the blacksmiths that are currently pounding away at anvils and telling them how to fix certain things about the swords that are being made and the other weapons that are being pounded away and created for the army as a whole. She's trying to do everything in her ability to lead these people in the way that they need to be prepared for what they're about to go on.
Luid smiles at Abigail, watching her lead her people, be amongst them. And he turns back to Dakota and says,
"See, there is plenty of work to be done and lots of ways to do it."
And the moment Luid stops speaking, we hear a stirring amongst the people.
And just on the other side of this bustling, Luid, you can see two people riding in on horses. It's your sister and one of your good friends. Lydia and Dioti look worse for wear. It looks like they've been through a lot. You can see Dioti slide off the back of his horse, burn marks all over his body. And you can see Lydia hopping off her horse as well, ready to speak to whoever she needs to.
Luid wastes no time. He starts approaching them, and immediately the words just fall out of his mouth.
"Dioti, Lydia, for the love of the goddess, what happened?"
Dioti looks to Lydia, but then he looks back to Luid and he says,
"Luid, we have a lot to share about the Ring of the Hand. Where are Abigail and Dakota? We need everyone to be here. We have some pretty important things to tell you."
At this point, a small crowd is starting to gather around this group. And Luid, admittedly, he just shakes off the fact that Dioti is so exhausted, so absorbed in his thoughts that he couldn't see that Dakota and Abigail were nearby. And so he just calls, "Abigail, Dakota, come over here."
And Abigail is jogging over at a quick pace, wiping her forehead of this black soot over her face and just trying to brush off this dust all over her clothes as she gets closer and closer. So happy to see that Lydia and Dioti made it back safely. And Abigail, initially reacting pretty strongly, says,
"Why didn't you contact us before now? I was waiting for some message from you, Yodi. Not hearing anything from you for a week. If I didn't know that you were already bad about communicating, I would have thought you were dead."
But then she wipes that away as she goes in to hug Lydia strongly and says,
"I'm so glad you're okay. It is such a relief to see that both of you are safe."
And she releases her hug on Lydia and goes in to hug Dioti. But right as she touches Dioti, he winces in pain and pushes her back and he says,
not right now. I was burned pretty badly."
And she, from a distance, says,
"Sorry, Yodi, but goddess, am I glad you're both okay. And I knew I could trust you, Yodi, but the whole point of me sending you, Yodi, was so that you could send a message and keep me updated. So please, just next time, send a message. But Death of Prosperity, it looks like you've both been through it, and we need to get you to the hospital and get some rest and get cleaned up."
Abigail didn't know it, but Lydia was coming up behind her, and she places a hand on Abigail's shoulder, and she whispers in her ear,
Abigail, rest can wait. Maybe DOD can go somewhere, but you need to know what we saw. You need to know now. And is this something you want to talk about in private, or... And Lydia's gaze wanders to the crowd that is gathering around them.
And before Abigail can respond, DOD didn't hear everything that Lydia was saying, but he picked up on the general vibe. And he says, we really should talk about what happened at the Ring of the Hand as soon as possible.
And Abigail, responding to the both of them, she says, yeah, I think we go talk in private first. You both tell me what you saw, and I will relay what I need to relay to my people.
And she waves Dakota over and places her hand on Lewin to indicate to maybe start moving towards the hospital again, since that's been a good place to talk in the past.
And Lewin starts to walk with the rest of the party as they go to the hospital, but on the way, he tarries a little bit and stands by his sister's side as they walk. And there's a moment of silence before finally he asks, it was bad, wasn't it? And Lydia quietly responds, worse than you can possibly imagine, Lewin.
Thank you so much for listening to Into the Wilder Heath 26. Roll and Tell is produced by Jeffrey Sneed and edited by Christian Pollock. First, I would like to thank all of our Patreon supporters who are still with us to this very day. Thank you so much to every single one of you who are still supporting the show, still letting your beautiful donations go towards podcast hosting and sound libraries and everything else that involves getting this show into our listeners' ears. It is that time where we thank all of our $5 tier and above patrons. So a special thank you to Elizabeth, Emily, Indigo, Casey, Ashley, Maddie, Marley, and Yuki. You little goobies make us feel so special. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, the link is in the description of this episode. You get tons of extra content that you don't get on our main feed, including bonus episodes, talkback episodes where we discuss the episodes in depth, our thought process, and how we feel about what we just experienced. And for this episode, I feel like you're not going to want to miss this talkback episode. If you'd like to just stay up to date with the show or get in communication with us, check out our Twitter and Instagram at RollAndTellPod. I believe we also have a Threads, maybe a Blue Sky, I don't know. If you just go to any social media and type in at RollAndTellPod, you might find us, you might not. We also have a Discord where you can talk with us on a daily basis. The link to the Discord is in the description of this episode as well. Really, we just like it when you use those beautiful little fingers of yours to type nice little messages at us. DOD and Lydia escaped the Ring of the Hand. They're going to be able to tell Abigail, Lewin, and Dakota every single thing they saw. But it seems like we've really pissed off the sorceress now. And with some seriously ominous signs that might be indicating what will be waiting for us when we return, how exactly are we going to get our people ready for this battle? We don't know. But you can find out with us next time as we roll and tell.